I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Don't talk to me about heroes, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Chelsea beat Norwich despite the turmoil, and Rangers won again in Europe. It's Friday, 11th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushin Hunter-Raja.
Welcome, everybody. It's Friday, Andy Brassel. Come on, have you got that Friday feeling?
I have. It's good to know as well you were listening to our Black Grape chat recently.
Bit of BG for everybody. Vish, what's your excuse?
Excuse for what?
I'm asking the questions here, pal.
I don't know. It is Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Friday.
Why is that?
I don't know. There's something about it.
There was too much football last night that wasn't European.
And that's
football.
What it is. That is what it is.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I think yesterday was so good that everyone thought, that's Friday. But no, everybody, it's a bonus Friday today. It sort of popped up. Here we are. We're ready to talk about the weekend's action.
It's a too crunchy week, is what you're saying.
Ooh, if you like. Gentlemen, though, there was football last night. And of course, we have to go straight to Norwich 1, Chelsea 3. Chelsea got a win, despite all the uncertainty around the club's future. We could mention the game. We could talk about the lovely goals from Mount and Havertz, and it is a worthwhile win. But of course, it's all sort of pales into insignificance, Andy, when we think about what's going on at the club. Because yesterday, we was breaking news when we went in the studio, talked about it. I'm sure all our good listeners, as well as ourselves, as we've been going through all the findings and the investigations and blah 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 about all this. It seems that, you know, this is really happening, and it's still quite a lot of turmoil and a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot going on, and clearly there are more important things happening in the world than what's happening with Chelsea at the moment.
Which has caused this.
I think we're all aware of that. On the other hand, clearly, I think everyone's more or less in the picture of what this means for Chelsea in the short to medium term. Mm. That they can carry on, but they're subject to these various restrictions, which, on the whole, like, shouldn't really affect the players so much. I mean, of course, they're playing, you know, the weakest team in the division last night. So, you know, sort of European champions beat much weaker team is not really a story at any point of the season, I suppose. But I think what's worth remembering is before Abramovich, there was a Chelsea club, football club, and there will be a Chelsea football club afterwards. Now, I think everyone's already had their say on, you know, how Chelsea fans should feel about this, what Chelsea fans should publicly say about this. I think we all know what's reasonable and what's unreasonable. But I think there needs to be an understanding of Chelsea fans are getting to grips with a new reality where their club needs to be protected. I'm not talking about them winning 21 trophies in the next 15 years or whatever. I'm talking about Chelsea continuing to exist.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah. Vish, you haven't had your say on this. And we've all been waiting to hear it. We spoke yesterday, now here we are today. It's sort of beginning. There are bits and pieces that are sort of unravelling this. I mean, obviously the club shirt sponsor Three had requested to temporarily suspend its deal with the club, and that will include the removal of its branding from their shirts. After yesterday's news of sanctions against Abramovich, Chelsea issued a statement saying they're seeking for a licence granted to them by the government to be amended so the club can operate as normal. You hear other sponsors of theirs thinking, oh, we're watching the situation. Blah, 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 blah. What do you make of all this? What are your immediate thoughts?
What an opening question. What do you think?
Yeah. I thought to myself, let's give him a blank canvas and see how he gets on, because it's such a crazy and regrettable, ultimately.
Yeah.
The roots of this, whatever you may think, the roots of all this are very regrettable.
Well, my understanding of the, of the sanctions as they are right now is that they are subject to change. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one of the licenses that they're now pushing for is this, you know, to be able to sell Chelsea Football Club. And they would need to, I think the exact wording is that they'd need to work out that it was, that Abramovich wouldn't be getting money, but it wouldn't be within his interest. And I think Adam Crafton floated this yesterday, is good PR in Abramovich's interest? Is that how, could you regard that? Could that be something that contravenes that particular ruling, that particular line in whatever it is they're looking at? But I think the one thing that I suppose I'm feeling rather than thinking is the fact that because this is all unprecedented and because these measures are coming in place, we said a couple of weeks ago that it almost feels a little unfair on football fans to expect them to be geopolitical experts or for them to carry the can for their owners. But once these people are confirmed to you, and I think a lot of people saw Abramovich for what he was, and a lot of them saw him for what they wanted him to be.
Yep.
And after something like that drops yesterday from the Treasury, you should probably not chant his name.
Well, I agree with that. Just to jump in, support your team.
Yeah.
Totally get that. Celebrate the goals. I mean, look, when Pete was speaking about Newcastle's takeover, he was very frank and very unequivocal in his opinions, and still is, by the way. But of course, when Saturday comes around, he's still supporting the team. And this is why football is such a, because of so many emotions and so many passions. And this is why often these people get involved in football. It's to use all that.
Yeah.
I don't blame any Chelsea fan at all for still wearing the kit and still supporting the club. But as you say, Vish, chanting the guy's name is like, come on.
I know, and it's the kind of, you just said it there. The reason this whole operation has worked, the reason so many other people with things that they want to...
And is working.
Yeah, and is still working, evidently, is because that people realise that they can buy into that kind of loyalty, they can buy into that kind of tribalism.
It's not
and
like
they can
any
exploit
other business.
It, yeah.
Exactly.
And the thing, I have one thing that I don't necessarily disagree with you, Andy, but I certainly have different thoughts about, is when you said, you were right, Chelsea were there before Abramovich, and but then you said, Chelsea will be there after Abramovich.
That's not given at the moment.
No, because he has basically wired him into that club so intrinsically and so, almost under the floorboards, because he's had to do it.
Maybe should be there after Abramovich.
Well, hopefully,
is the better way of putting that. And I think what this is a reminder that never deify a club's owner.
Totally.
Really?
Totally.
I've been on a train with Wimbledon fans before, where there were some Wimbledon fans chanting in favour of Charles Coppell, who was the bloke who eventually oversaw the move to Milton Keynes. You've got to be, I think you've got, as a supporter, you have to be a critic as well.
Totally.
I think that's really important.
But it's so hard to do that though, when there are so many other bad owners around. So like, Abramovich.
No, that's the wrong way to think of it.
I think that's why fans are now in this position, because, I mean, look at Newcastle with Mike Ashley and the way they celebrated these new owners.
I understand the celebrating getting rid of him.
Yeah, I know.
But celebrating the new owners.
No, but that's what I mean. It kind of becomes one of the same, doesn't
it? Does,
because there are so many bad owners.
And
out
also,
there.
Some of these. Chelsea...
Let me rephrase that. Okay. Not, I don't mean morally bad owners. I just mean people who are bad at running football clubs.
Yeah, no, and also Abramovich, in terms of running a football club, how many trophies have they won under him? They're currently European and world champions. You know, and that's, again, when the whistle goes, you support your team and you want them to win. And under his stewardship, they've won a lot of trophies. So I understand the fact that they are a bit like, oh, well, do we want this guy to go? But actually, when the facts come...
But I think you're talking about the concerns of global fans, and that is the thing. There's a global fan base to the biggest clubs around the world now.
Yeah.
But certainly as a match-going fan, if we boil it down to a club being the centre of its community, you owe it to yourself, whether you're Manchester City, Chelsea, AFC Wimbledon, Chesterfield, whoever else, to consistently question the owners of your club and consistently question the people who are running your club. It's important because it is your club. They are simply the custodians, and that is super important.
I totally agree with you, Andy. But sadly, I think that a lot of people would think of that as quite an old-fashioned view. I don't think it is an old-fashioned
view.
You
say that, but you know, Rob McKenney and what's his chops? Canadian handsome boy.
Yes, Ryan, is it?
Ryan Reynolds, They said exactly that when they took over Wrexham. That, like,
it's your club.
We just have it for now. We're just the custodians.
But it depends on who owns the stadium, who this, that and the other, because the things that change are players, owners, managers, all the rest of it. The people that don't change are the fans, those who work in the cafe and the badge and whatnot. And the reality is the Premier League, because of this, the roots and what it is to mean to be a football club, it's just about safeguarded from becoming a franchise like it is. You know, we abhor in NFL when... Was it the Los Angeles Raiders up sticks and go like to the other end of the country?
To Oakland, to Las Vegas.
And all that. Yeah. It's just that's ridiculous. And that's why you mentioned MK Dons. You know, that is a shocking example in this country.
And actually,
but we're not that far away from it,
and
Andy.
Actually, no, you're right. And actually, that's what happens when you have a culture that doesn't question the owners, I think. Now, where a group of Chelsea fans have always played a blinder throughout the Abramovich era... is the Chelsea pitch owners.
Totally, yes.
Yeah.
That is super important because that has stopped him being able to sell Stamford
Bridge. Well, it's almost like the equivalent of when you see cities undergoing makeovers. And sometimes that can be good. Sometimes you question it. Sometimes you think, thank goodness, that's a listed building. And that's a listed building because you can't suddenly build 1,000,001 flats for people with questionable money to come along and just buy them all up, if you see what I mean. And that is why those things are important. But those things are increasingly rarer.
But going back to what Vish was saying, where it becomes super complicated is the fact that, and I guess this is, correct me if I'm wrong, the definition you were making between bad owners and people with bad intentions. The fact that why sports washing works, and I think on a top line scale, it's easy to say, well, you know, if everyone wants their club to go out and buy cool players and win trophies and all that sort of stuff. But what's happened, if you look at, say, Manchester City, it's not often acknowledged, I think, certainly outside Manchester City or outside people who are really interested in the club or supporters of the club or whatever, all the other stuff, all the things that they've done in the area around the city of Manchester now, Etihad Stadium, the fact that they've put money into the women's team, the fact that they've built incredible new facilities to train in, the fact that they've gone into schools and provided education programs and stuff like that. This is all the stuff that makes sports washing effective.
Well, totally. I mean, there are plenty of examples around of various leaders of countries, and if I'm even going to go, you know, the likes of, you know, certain drug lords and all the rest of it, what they do for cities and towns and so on and so forth. I get the fact that somebody says, well, I know you're moaning about Erdogan in Turkey, for example, but without him, our town wouldn't have streetlights. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So actually, you know, it's I'm getting a little bit off topic here. Forgive me,
but now, so you said that, but you're not, are you?
Because well, this is
this is where we are.
Yeah,
the reason this has come about is because Russia invaded Ukraine.
Yeah,
and we're on the cusp of European disaster on that front.
Yeah.
And that's what it's taken to have this conversation.
Well, that, and you're right there. And this idea of, stop mixing politics and football. Well, the person commentating on Sky Sports News or wherever they do it, they're not the ones mixing politics and football, my old son. You know, that everything is political if you want to boil it down.
It is.
But it is inevitable that when you open the doors to all this sort of stuff, how many years have people been going on about the fit and proper persons test? Well, we turn a blind. We'll have the cash, thank you. We'll ask the questions later. And you're right enough, Vish. It takes essentially a war to start questioning these things. And people would say, with regards to the Saudi ownership, there's been a war going on with Yemen for years. And look, I understand it's you know, due to the proximity of Ukraine. You know, that's always going to fill a few more headlines here and so on. Whatever.
I think, you know, I don't say this lightly. I think it's also to do with the colour of the people being affected as well, primarily. Mm. You know, bear in mind, Amnesty International came to Newcastle with all those forms and, you know, all that information. It was just passed over. I think, sorry to interrupt, but there are so many factors
Exactly. But it seems ridiculous after saying that, but bringing it back to Chelsea Football Club, you know, there are people who are obviously interested in wanting to buy them or acquire them or whatever the right word would be. And there's an interesting situation with some players who are out of contract in the summer, Andres Christensen and Antonio Rudiger, Cesar Azpilicueta. They're out of contract, so they'll be off if the situation doesn't change. Or
I mean, I kind of think this is a bit of a red herring because they were going anyway.
No, sure. But the fact is that they'll be allowed to leave and get out. As you say, they were wanting to anyway.
Would it be worse for them? Because they were like, shit, I was really hoping to leverage something here.
Maybe.
Shit.
Just get that ink on the Barcelona contract now. Yeah.
But it's incredible. I mean, it came out yesterday that the licence also prohibits Chelsea from spending more than £20,000 on an away game travel. They play Lille away next Wednesday. That is really going to stretch the budget.
If only there was a cheaper and more ecologically friendly way of going to Lille than flying. You know?
Taking the Eurostar.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy, have you tried booking Eurostar tickets a week before you need to go somewhere?
I was about to say, Andy.
Fucking expensive.
Yeah, you haven't done that before, have you? Yeah. That's Andy's always in advance, you see.
Yeah, I'm never going anywhere, mate.
I was going to say, the Eurostar's cheap. I thought you were going to say a fleet of electric scooters. That's how they were going to get
the Italian job, yeah.
Exactly.
waving around your Eurostar black card. I always come through here, yeah. Come my usual seat.
Yeah, everybody out the way. Mr. Brassel's here. straight through. Anyway, they face Newcastle on Sunday, which, you know, heartwarming fixture, you could call it, as you know, the ownership derby.
I had to double check that because I was like, surely this is too on the nose.
I know. Yeah, goodness knows what people will be chanting at that game. We hope it's good, wholesome stuff. There we are. We'll see how that situation unfolds with Chelsea, but it will take a while and there'll be a lot of bumps on the way, to paraphrase somebody. Gentlemen, there was some European action last night, if we can turn our attention that to, you know, albeit briefly after that. David Moyes made his hotly anticipated return to Spain, of course. I didn't see him being offered any crisps, but we do know that his West Ham side lost 1-0 away in Sevilla. I mean, Andy, it was, on reflection, they had the chances, West Ham.
They did, particularly in the first half.
Yeah.
It was a very, very good away performance, I thought. They played well on the counter. Mm. Even in the second half, when Sevilla were by far the better side, West Ham managed to create a few chances as well. I don't know. Just every time I see West Ham at the moment, I think, why didn't you buy a forward in January? I know that's easy to say.
But Antonio's such a lovely guy. You want him up there.
But to help
you want him to have help.
Yeah, okay.
You want him to not be exhausted.
Who are you taking out from the midfield, though, Andy? I mean, Rice is good, but he can't do it all.
It's difficult, I think, because they needed the depth. They haven't got it.
Mm.
And maybe that makes the difference between being able to close a result there and not. I think the difference is, of course, because there are no away goals, we keep saying it, is the difference between this being a good result for Sevilla and in the away goals era, it would have been an excellent result.
I agree with you. For Sevilla. The tie is very much alive.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying, of course. And yeah, with the chances they made, taking them back to that London stadium, Vish, eh? Ooh.
But the other thing we have to add, sorry, is the fact that Sevilla have got quite a lot of players to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, so presumably Rakitic missed got injured in the warm-up.
Yeah, he did.
Munir
yeah.
came in and obviously scored.
Well, yeah, but because of Rakitic being...
Yeah.
What a finish, by the way.
Yeah, it was a lovely finish, yeah. But is Rakitic all right now? Was it just like a, you know, he'll be fine for the weekend?
We don't know yet.
But the London Stadium's a good one because it feels like the last couple of months has been... Not discontent, that's far too strong, because there's been proper discontent there before. But West Ham fans have been a bit worried that, you know, they might peter out come the end of the season. And this feels like a real all or nothing kind of event next Thursday then, where they're like, fuck it, bring them back to Wales. They've already cultivated a brilliant atmosphere at that ground. They've turned it into their own this season. And now this is when you punch that card. This is when you think, right, let's show them what we're made of.
Absolutely, yeah. Leicester City. Good win for them, Andy. Beat Rennes 2-0 at home.
Now, that was a smart performance, I thought, because Rennes were really good. I think they're the best side to watch in France this season. And you could see a lot of that.
Not the side with Messi.
In the game yesterday. No.
They're the funniest side to watch.
But I think, bearing in mind that Leicester have absences, the way they rode it out and the way they sought the second goal but didn't recklessly chase it.
Yep.
I mean, Ren, you'd be furious at letting in a second goal like that.
Especially at that time. Right at what were they thinking?
I have
no idea.
There wasn't enough players back for me. And with, again, away goals rules being scrapped and so on, you lose 1-0 away from home, it's not a disaster.
Yeah, Bruno Genesio, the coach, talked of schoolboy errors. Which I think is fair enough.
Boy, but no errors for that Albrighton goal, though. Cool. What a corker.
What an effort that was. And again, Harvey Barnes at the heart of it. He's been so, so important for them in recent weeks. And I think the way they plotted and planned it without playing brilliantly, I think you have to applaud Leicester. Because they're facing one of the best sides left in the competition there.
Albrighton's goal. Can I make a comparison? To Shearer against the Netherlands.
Yes, you can.
96.
You absolutely can.
A little bit across, a little outside of the foot, top bill.
Look at you tickling Speller under the chin.
Buttering me up ahead of the game later. that's a little insight. Vish, you were at Ibrox, of course, when they drew to all with Dortmund, but of course went through quite handsomely in the end. A huge win for them. Ibrox was rocking again. Beat Red Star Belgrade 3-0. What a win that is.
That was seriously impressive. Although it was quite funny that Red Star scored quite a few goals.
They scored three goals. And they're all rightly ruled out.
Yeah,
and they
course.
Also missed a penalty because McGregor made a great save.
Yeah, he did. It feels like the... because either side of that... those Dortmund results. Rangers drew in the league, I think.
They've not been good, yeah.
No, they haven't been. So they're almost like going all in on this, even though the SPL title's still there, up for grabs from Angie's big boys. But the thing I left, when I left Ibrox, it felt like the Rangers fans of many different generations felt that they were back where they belong, hosting those kind of nights. It felt like a novelty for me because it was my first time in Ibrox. But it, you know, sometimes you get that sense that it's not all novelty to everyone else around you.
Yeah.
That they're just like, right, we just want more of these. Yeah. We're not, you know, this is great. We're not going to take it for granted, but we want the next one.
The Gerrard spell has raised expectations.
But Van Bronckhorst,
they've played well against good sides in recent years.
But Van Bronckhorst has done all right coming in. By the way, it's the Scottish Premiership, not the SPL anymore.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry.
Also,
save your tweets, everybody.
I think you can forgive that because I think we're all a bit dizzied from television coverage. When you see the Morelos second goal and the players come into the corner and celebrate it, and then the director cuts to that shot where it like flies backwards across the
length
of the main stand.
They did that at Dortmund.
It's like you feel as if this is such a moment for Scottish football that you have been blasted into orbit to enjoy it.
But they were doing that in the Dortmund game as well. The stadium's obviously conducive. Other stadiums around the country should do that if you've got the facilities to do it. I would thoroughly recommend. But by the way, with that Alan McGregor penalty save, we should say that here's a stat for you. He's the oldest player to ever save a Europa League penalty. at 40.
Something to stick on your CV?
Certainly, certainly.
Well, obviously, you won't need a CV at that age, will you?
But... we don't really get too many old goalkeepers anymore, do we?
That's not true.
Yeah, I feel like there'd be loads before, like a 43-year-old.
Brad Friedel must be playing somewhere.
Probably, yeah.
I'd like to draw your attention to Red Star Belgrade's English Twitter account, who I believe follow the Football Ramble, bless them. They tweeted in Glaswegian, as they put it, tweeted at full time, "Tonight we've put the ball in Rangers net three times with neither goal counting." Neither. Missed a penalty, conceded a penalty, hit the bar, missed chances, lost 3-0. That was a pish evening, but the tie isn't over. See yous in Belgrade. Ominous. But it is a trick. I mean, if you think that Ibrox is a proper cauldron of an atmosphere, you know, the American R, as it's nicknamed in Belgrade, certainly will be as well.
And well, they'll be there already, won't they, to walk the length of that tunnel onto the pitch.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But, you know, Red Star will be disappointed, or Zvezda, as the hipsters say, Andy.
Don't they?
Yeah, as the locals say. They could have scored. They'll feel hard done by it. It would be a tall order for them. But I tell you what, though, Rangers, last couple of seasons under Gerrard, they reached the last, last 16 of the Europa League.
Yeah,
there's so many rounds. I forget it's the last 32. They've reached the last 16. They've gone out. Let's be honest, this is an all right tie. It's an all right draw for them, especially what they did to Dortmund. Could get into that quarter final. You never know. Anyway, it's time for a quick break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
There's more to Irish history than St. Patrick. And Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes are here to tell you all about it on We're Not Fucking Historians, the Irish history podcast with a few facts and plenty of crack, like the legendary Irish warrior, Cú Chulainn.
Some sources say he killed a dog by driving a hurling stone down its throat. Now he's six. Hazel, did someone say the naughty step?
Jesus, someone went to bed without supper, didn't they?
Someone called Super Nanny because he's at it again.
Or Ned Kelly, Australia's infamous Irish-born bushranger.
Punishment was imprisonment with or without hard labour.
I'd prefer without.
If possible. Like, if it's going. Do you have any without hard labour?
Yeah, can I have the without labour substitute, please?
Can I get the hard labour on the side?
Can I get almond instead of hard labour, please?
Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians in your favourite podcast app for weekly episodes every Tuesday.
Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
English media, typewriters ready, please. Well, he's going to talk about Harry Maguire now. Hoe vond je hem de laatste tijd? Hij pakt rood tegen Watford.
He is really shit.
I thought that was taken off the... How dare you? Won't be saying that when the international break comes around. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. How dare you? How bloody dare you?
He's not wrong, is he?
He is wrong when it comes to England. It's time for emails.
Thank you for your shitty song.
Oh, like that. But it's spring is here, I think, and that just felt right. That
it's not very springy, though, is it? That feels early summer.
Yeah, isn't... I mean, that's what spring is, really.
No, not with that attitude, it's not.
Up yours and read the email.
Editor of the Crawley Observer, Mark Dunford, reached out to us with this story. In a game between Corinthian Casuals and Bognor Regis Town this week, defender and Casuals captain Jack Strange was sent off for going for a quick piss.
Where did he go?
He dashed off the pitch for the loo with 5 minutes to go. With 5 minutes to go!
I mean, that's why he was sent off, really, wasn't it?
He returned 2 minutes later, but refused to comply with the linesman's instructions to wait on the touchline until he could alert the ref. The ref brandished a yellow when he realised Strange's offence and upgraded it to a red when he realised he'd already booked him.
So it was just a booking then?
Yeah, right.
Which is fair enough.
The idea that this is somehow a undeserved red card...
Yeah, that's his fault.
I'm not having... Also, if you're not a two-year-old or a pensioner, just hold it.
Or, Andy, just go down and pretend you're tying your boots and then pop your penis out the side of your shorts and have a piss on the pitch.
They have a word for that in Australia. They call it a footy piss.
Do they? Yeah. They have a word for it in South London, don't they, Andy? Banter. anyway, speaking of non-league, by the way...
Why have you said penis on a Friday?
It's a Friday.
Don't even think that you're coming into South London and exposing yourself.
Yeah.
Okay?
Not
just
again.
Don't even think about it.
Oh, South London, get a load of this.
You've already been banned from 4 London boroughs.
I tell you what, I never went there anyway. That was a precautionary ban, and I'll show them.
And he was tying his shoelace.
I live in southwest London, Andy, so up yours as well. Speaking of non-league, by the way, a world record! 54 penalties were needed to decide a Northern League game, League Cup match on Wednesday night. Incredible. The game had ended 3-3 after 90 minutes, but then Washington beat Bedlington 25-24 on penalties. There were more penalties than people watching. An unofficial stat, 40 spectators. But it beats the previous Guinness World Record of 48, which is incredible, which I think was the Europa League final between Manchester United and Villarreal. There's more about that, Vish. 25-24. I mean, presumably the keepers took twice.
Yeah, so 54 penalties, 49. So they missed 5 penalties. Imagine if you missed twice.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be so annoying, wouldn't
it? But like, you just, if you're a goalkeeper and you slot your penalty away, you think, oh, thank goodness for that. Oh no, he's coming back round again. But again, presumably they scored.
Do you remember?
It depends.
Do you remember that under 21 England Netherlands game?
That was
where
a long
Joe
one.
Hart hit, scored the penalty. Stephen Taylor tried to get out of taking penalty because he was injured and hit it into the top corner.
Wasn't that like that was like 13-12, I think, or something?
Yeah, that was. But there were a few missed penalties in that, and that went on so long that it became a bit of a joke. You could tell, you know, the teams had broken up from their, you know, line with everyone in, you know, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, what, it's like getting uncomfortable.
Yeah,
cuddling two players for this long,
and like a couple of people were sat down. It was like the end, like the Sunday of a festival. By the end of it.
Yeah, it was almost. It was a bit like we don't care who goes through.
Yeah, the Netherlands had a good team. I think like Royston Drenthe, Ryan Babel. Well, they went on to win that tournament. I think
there was team full of rap legends.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
There was a mammoth penalty shootout between Rio Ave and AC Milan I assume the Europa League. Milan
yeah, it was a qualifier, wasn't it?
Last
season.
Yeah, it finished 9-8, but there was quite a few missed. Mm. So that was a good one as well for fans of long penalty shootouts. We've got confirmation that both keepers did score twice.
Wow.
Which is very impressive, actually. Maybe took a leaf out of Kevin Pressman's book, if you remember the finest penalty that's ever been taken.
Yes.
Although he was on the losing side that night in that penalty shootout.
I think Quiven Kelleher has to take that crown now.
No,
I think he does.
No, Pressman's was better.
Pressman's was a goal kick. Kelleher was a bit of misdirection.
No, it went in. Pressman knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, he took it like a goal kick.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it. Just I think Kelleher's was better.
Okay, you're wrong. Shout out footballramble.com if you want to tweet, if you want to email in or tweet us at footballramble to tell Vish that he's wrong. Right, last night, of course, we mentioned Chelsea beating Norwich. There was more Premier League action. Leeds were beaten 3-0 at home to Aston Villa. Quite a damning result that on Leeds United. Vish, do you worry about Jesse? The thing is, the sad thing for Leeds is, like, if it doesn't improve and they just it whimpers on, so many of them were saying, why on earth did we not just keep Bielsa?
Well, they were singing his name when they left last night.
Yeah.
But it's only going one way with Bielsa. That doesn't make any sense.
Andy, you know as well as I do, none of this makes any sense. It's football.
So I watched this game yesterday, and the thing I observed was like Leeds tried to play out the back with a bit more patience.
Okay.
But more patience. Okay. But because they lacked a bit of confidence, they just kept getting picked off by Aston Villa in that first half. There was a stage where it must have lasted about 20 minutes, but Leeds couldn't get out of their half, despite the fact they'd often have the ball, but would just misplace it. And Aston Villa weren't pressing too much. You know, there were a few times even where Meslier was just giving the ball straight to Ollie Watkins. It was absurd, really. It did make me wonder, though, if... Well, kind of like how much success Marsh is going to get between now and the end of the season if his goal should just be to keep them in the Premier League. Because no doubt, he obviously, as a holistic manager, as Andy once described him, he's got his principles that he wants to work on. Can you really work on him at this stage of the season, especially with this group of players who are so demoralised?
But they're leaking goals. I mean, they've conceded 64 goals, the most of any club in Premier League history after 28 games. And I just, for me, I thought to myself, you know how Villa are going to line up the way they played the other day when they banged in a load of goals. Coutinho is going to be behind the front two. They're on a high at the moment. Mind how you go. And obviously they thought, oh, well, maybe we'll try and...
What if Leeds simply don't have the players? Which I think is
the
possibility.
But that's the point.
That's the point with Bielsa.
That's what Bielsa's thing was, wasn't it?
Bielsa was you've taken a lot of what would otherwise be championship players and you've moulded them and created a system which creates... You've chucked in a few others like Rafinha and a few others that would be of Premier League quality. But they're in deep trouble. Not as much trouble, though, as Watford, who managed to lose 4-0 against a side who don't like to score a lot of goals, despite the decent season they're having. But
I think that's 11% of Wolves' goals came last night.
Yeah, there you
wow.
go.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Leeds
have the excuse of Villa being in a very good place and Coutinho absolutely walking on water at the moment. And Matty Cash, actually.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, they paid dearly for every little error that they made. But whereas, I mean, Wolves, I couldn't have dreamt of a better fixture. Having said that, the Ruben Neves goal is magnificent.
Yeah, some have described gorgeous. It as Cantona-esque, Vish.
It's a little bit... He over-celebrated, though, didn't he? Cantona didn't celebrate when he chipped Lionel Perez.
Different. Well, he did celebrate.
Wolves don't have a collar on the current kit, do they?
Oh, I don't know. No.
So that could be the issue there.
I think.
I mean, the collar did a lot of heavy lifting in that. It was
such a lovely finish. And the thing about the celebration is someone who doesn't like celebrating, even Ruben Neves was carried away, wasn't he?
That's true, yeah.
That is a gorgeous... The Podence one was fucking embarrassing. I know, like, everyone Ben Foster, lovely man, what a YouTube channel, this, that and the other. But that was trash. He's so bad at with the bullets for him.
Well, and then, it's so frustrating. And when Hodgson went there, people thought, oh, hang on a minute, can he...
I think only you thought that.
No, Luke said that. He said he thought Watford would now stay up. Didn't he? And then I
reminded... Not here to defend himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just chuck him under the bus. I think some people... Because some people said, and Andy, you thought this wouldn't have been a terrible idea, with Newcastle when they were in a bit of bother... People thought, why not Hodgson until the end of the season to steady the ship and so on? And obviously, you know, their fortunes have been a little bit. I bought a goal from Bruno Guimaraes without getting sidetracked.
Your man.
But I don't think it was ridiculous to suggest, well, Hodgson could sort of weave his magic. I mean, the thing is that they're 3 points from safety, but Everton do have a fair few games in hand on them. But then they're 4 points off Leeds United. Leeds have lost their last six. By the way,
and they play Norwich next, though, don't they, Leeds?
Goodness knows what will happen there. So it really is all to play for at the bottom of the Premier League, as it always is. And Brentford versus Burnley is another one, which is quite crucial. Now, Brentford have, you know, they won their last game, of course, which was a huge win. Burnley do have two games in hand on Brentford, but they're 6 points behind them. So you'd definitely rather have the points, Andy. I think we can all agree
at
there.
At the end of the table, no question.
Some are dubbing this the James Tarkowski derby.
Interesting.
Are you one of them?
No.
All right, Killjoy. What do you think of this one, Vish? Ben Mee won't be back in the fold for Burnley. He'll be a bit of a loss. I mean, other than that, you know, what sort of team news are you looking at ahead of this fixture?
I genuinely don't know. What a weird question. The thing I do wonder, though, is that, like, Burnley have been playing very differently in, you know, since January, since signing Weghorst,
yeah.
I suppose. It's given them a different kind of focus of attack in the way that, you know, he's much better on it with the ball at his feet than Chris Wood. And it does seem to be that they're trying to play towards that. I don't disrespect
Chris Wood after he nodded one in last night.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Chris Wood.
There you go. Carry on.
Who gives a shit?
Newcastle fans.
Yeah, I suppose.
Carry on with you.
They'll be done with him by May.
Carry on with
Chelsea can have him when they're in the Vanarama.
Carry on with
It's unfortunate if you're a Newcastle fan how they've played themselves their way out of the relegation chat. Haven't they?
Yeah, but they signed Chris Wood, played themselves out of the relegation chat so early, they're like, oh, he's still here. I thought as soon as we go, you'd take the hint, mate.
Come on, carry on with your muggy little Burnley chat.
So my fear is that Brentford will be too conservative in this game, which I actually think this new iteration of Burnley will actually quite like.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Brentford do. You think they'll be a little bit conservative because pressure has been mounting on Thomas Frank, which I understand in one sense, but in another sense, he's been so good for Brentford, and they are 6 points ahead of Burnley.
But I think it's mounting in the sense that this is a pressurised situation to be in, rather than people looking at him thinking you're going to lose your job. If
okay,
you
yeah, like maybe that's
maybe the difference.
He did say this week that he loves how cool it is to be Brentford boss, but he did also say the day I get sacked, I'll next be travelling. So it's almost a bit like, well
he will have to leave. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, that's like a Gordon Strachan answer, isn't it?
Totally.
Where are you going now? Oh, to the car park, to my car.
Yeah, yeah. He did go backpacking around Australia and South America in the year 2000 with his wife, which is quite nice.
But he won't be doing that again, presumably.
Well, you never know, Andy. You never know.
Well, it'd be cheaper, wouldn't it?
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. Andy, I think you're just looking at me as if to say, hurry up and talk about Manchester United versus Spurs rather than what's in Thomas Frank's backpack. Antonio Conte said that his expectations have become higher after Spurs beat Everton 5-0. He's setting himself up for a fall.
How unlike him to live the emotions of the last game so intensely.
Antonio.
It's like he's in euphoria. Like his emotions are all over the place.
Well, there was a bit of talk, obviously, that Conte was apparently considered by Manchester United for the job, although Gary Neville certainly rubbished that or tried to on the weekend when Michael Richards was saying they might have gone for him.
Nonsense, that.
Yeah, well, Conte,
as in Neville's comments were nonsense.
I completely agree with what you're saying. Conte said, Solskjaer's sacking happened after I'd signed for Spurs, but honestly, I'm so focused on the Tottenham job that I didn't read this. Okay, well.
He says that like someone said, no, I definitely messaged you about it. No, oh, shit, sorry.
Damn.
You should have messaged the Thursday group.
It went into my junk. Yeah, well, Spurs could overtake Manchester United with a win at Old Trafford, of course. More reports of disharmony in the Old Trafford dressing room this week. Bitterness towards certain players who are featuring regularly under Rangnick. Leading to one member of the squad being labelled a teacher's pet, apparently.
I mean, that's never happened under any coach.
No, I was going to say that. That is such a common. You
who
could say
is
that
it?
About, you could
Let's
say that
speculate
about
who it is.
Everyone, couldn't
Fish,
you?
Who's your money on for the teacher's pet?
Oh, McTominay.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say McTominay. Who's you reckon, Andy? Bruno Fernandes?
I reckon Jadon Sancho's got a bit of teacher's pet about him.
Do you think? Harry Maguire?
No, Jadon Sancho's too, you know, short tie. You know,
Peanut.
Peanut tie with a big fat, you know, bottom of the tie to be a teacher's pet.
Yeah, Bart Simpson tattoo as well. You got to bear that in mind.
Are you joking?
No.
What was it?
What?
He's got a Bart Simpson tattoo.
What does it look like?
Like Bart Simpson.
No, like what's Bart Simpson doing in it?
I don't know from memory. I mean, presumably, if I was going to get a tattoo of Bart Simpson, it would be him with a catapult, you know, the iconic one. You've got to go for the classics, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd get Grandpa Simpson.
Oh, that's it. It's not just Bart Simpson. It's all the Simpsons.
What, on the couch?
No, all stood up. Someone's holding a crossbow.
He's gone too far with a crossbow.
Yeah, I think Maggie's holding a crossbow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Well, there we are.
My word.
Yeah, I don't think it's him. It's certainly not Cristiano Ronaldo, who posted a picture of himself training on his Instagram and said he was eager to get back on the pitch. It seems that his hip replacement
is that old. Isn't it?
It seems that his hip problem last weekend emerged only after he was told by Ragnick that he'd be used as a sub. That's what some are suggesting. Then he was off back to Portugal.
I mean, that's a little Sunday league, isn't it? Left out the 11 and you limp back to the changing room.
We've all had a dicky back when we've been asked to lift heavy things.
The thing is,
would we say that United are so far from being in a position to get in that fourth spot? Really, in terms of the way they're playing at the moment, this to me feels like working towards the Atletico Madrid tie as much as anything else.
Andy, if Manchester United finish...
Because Arsenal are going to have to really drop the ball from here to not get fourth.
If Manchester United finish fourth in the Premier League this season, it will be an absolute stain and disgrace on the Premier League.
Do you know what was as bad a stain on the Premier League?
Go on.
Manchester United finishing second last season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We need to clean up this league, damn it all. You could argue that that's what the first half chat was largely about. But anyway, we have seen Conte go with his favoured back three often this season. He likes a back three, we do know that. He absolutely loves it, doesn't he? Another man who likes a back three is Palmeira coach Abel Ferreira, who was elaborating on defending with three at the back this week. He said, "It's like having sex. Sometimes it's in the kitchen, other times it's in the bedroom, other times in the bathroom, but it always has the same end goal. It's the same when constructing our back three."
I mean, if you've actually seen Palmeiras play under Abel, it's about as far from sex as you can possibly imagine.
Very interesting, Andy.
It is interesting.
I mean, having sex in the kitchen isn't practical.
Not with your cooking.
I mean, turn off all the hobs. Why are you doing it with fire around? Yeah,
exactly. Why is it in the microwave? Jobs are good. We'll be eating in 5 minutes.
But also... the thing I don't get about this is that he just wants to relay the fact that he has sex in the kitchen,
everywhere.
In the bedroom and sex in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
What rooms?
No.
The end goal is the same. It's the same when constructing our back three.
Doesn't matter.
How do you approach it the same way? Does it give you the horn? Are you worried about satisfying one of the people you picked in your back three?
Yeah.
It's a nonsense.
The mind boggles. The mind simply boggles. Gentlemen, we must move on to Betway's 4 to Score for everybody's sake. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week, of course. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In game one, it's Chelsea versus Newcastle United on Sunday at 2 p.m. Vish, who are you going for?
I'm going for Mason Mount.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scored a lovely goal, of course.
He did.
Against Norwich.
A lovely goal.
And you think he's going to score possibly a lovely goal against Newcastle, but he's going to score the first goal. That is the crucial bit of information. Game two, Everton versus Wolverhampton Wanderers, also at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Andy, who have you gone for?
Raul Jimenez, back on the goal trail.
Yes. It's also sort of in the ramble. We like to choose him for first goal scorer often. He was first goal scorer against Watford. Can he do it again against Everton? Andy seems to think so. In game three, West Ham versus Aston Villa, Jim Campbell has this to say.
Hello, it's Jim here. I'm out in the wild. Don't tell anyone. So for 4 to Score this week, I've got West Ham against Aston Villa, and I am going to go for the man of the moment, Philippe Coutinho, because he has just absolutely changed things at Villa. He's got them all ticking, and I think he's going to score, maybe even from long range. So yeah, West Ham against Aston Villa, Philippe Coutinho.
Love that, Jim.
That sounds fun. Where is he?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
He said, don't tell anybody, so presumably he's in one of his secret locations with everybody else by the sounds of the background. Game four, Arsenal versus Leicester City, Sunday at 4:30 p.m. I am picking Harvey Barnes.
Ooh. I like that. Very direct.
Yeah.
Harvey Barnes, I think you'll score the first, but I think Arsenal will win the game.
I'm going to this game. I'll let you know how it pans out.
Yeah, well, because I'll not be able to find out otherwise, will I?
You'll have to read it in the paper like Antonio Conte.
Oh, it's a misprint.
I will send word to the others.
Please do. So there we are. Chelsea versus Newcastle United in game one. Vish has gone for Mason Mount. Game two, Everton versus Wolves. Andy's picked Raul Jimenez. Game three, West Ham versus Aston Villa. Jim has gone for Philip Coutinho. And in game four, Arsenal versus Leicester City, I have picked Harvey Barnes. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody, it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
This is why we're all buggered, to use a different word. Oh, everybody, it's Marcus's game. Come on. After putting Andy and Vish to the sword, I'm back in the chair to see these two beautiful heavyweights face off each other. Vish, have you got anything to say for yourself?
This is just the worst version of the game, isn't it?
Okay.
At least when Jim does it, Jim does the proper game. Uh-huh. I want to be different.
And he knows it's the worst version of the game, and he enjoys it.
Yeah.
Andy, don't you start. I was about to give you a point head start there.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Why don't you give yourself a point?
I don't need to. Got them all last week and the week before, didn't I?
Did you?
I did, yeah. I beat you.
Was that last week?
Yeah. It's all ancient history now, isn't it? You're only as good as the latest.
That was the worst version of last time on Marcus's game.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it wasn't Marcus's game, of course. It was Jim's game. Right.
Okay. Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
Okay, everybody. Marcus's game. We're doing managers, of course, much to Vish's delight. And, of course, with managers, if they have managed a country, that counts. If they've managed a B team, an under-21s team, that doesn't count. If they have been interim manager, that does count. If they've been assistant, that doesn't count. You know the rules. Here we go.
I do now.
Yes.
Just hurry up and get your shitty little game off the way. We start the weekend.
Oh.
Andy Brassel.
Oi! Look, the key is in the lock for the weekend, okay?
And I've jumped out the window.
No,
mate.
You haven't.
I've jumped out the window.
You and your mum.
I'm tearing down the street with some of my possessions.
The ones that aren't incriminating. Vish, you can go first, as you've been such a knob. This man has managed five teams in his career. It's Brian Clough.
Brian bloody Clough.
Do you get that Friday feeling when a Brian Clough walks your way? How many have you got, Brovnik?
I've got three.
Three, not a bad bit at all, Andy Brassel. Can you beat that?
I've definitely got four.
Jesus Christ. Just yes, you can. Yes. Just say yes, Andy. Don't try and batter me down.
I've definitely got four. Can I really, really?
You said you only have three. I've definitely got four.
Yes.
Let me think if I can do five.
Andy, can I hear four or five indeed from you?
Okay, so you don't want to go for five?
Well, hang on. What are you saying? Vish will respond when
I've said four.
So you're going for four. You can bid five.
I can, but I'm going to go for four.
So you're going for
because
four.
Because you've bullied me into it.
Right.
I fucked up. I should have got you to do five.
And Vish, can I hear five from you?
No.
See, I reckon you have dropped the ball a little bit there, only saying three. I reckon you could do all five, but do you want to do all five? You definitely know.
No, because Brian Clough is the kind of manager, if you get
Andy's
it wrong...
Andy's definitely got all four.
People on the internet will get annoyed at you for...
Okay, Andy,
okay.
Far away, four teams Brian Clough managed.
Forest.
But we want full names, but I'll give you that.
Derby. County.
Thank you.
He said Forest Green, didn't he?
Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
Leeds United.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 1-0 to Andy
Brassel. Is Middlesbrough the other one?
Hartlepool United.
Ah, see, I didn't have it.
Hartlepools.
Oh, I fucked myself there. Why did I bully him into doing 34?
Yeah, indeed. Okay, it's 1-0 to Andy Brassel. Andy, you're up first with this man who surprisingly has only managed five teams himself. Thought you'd have done a few more, but it is five. Gordon Strachan.
Gordon Strachan.
The aforementioned Gordon Strachan. Gordon, can we have a quick word? Aye, velocity. Remember that one? Andy, how many of Gordon Strachan's five teams can you name? Oh, there's the teeth. There's the tips of the teeth. What you got, bruv?
Four.
Oh. And it's killed Vish. It has killed him. Vish, can I hear five from you?
Yeah.
Do it.
Are you going for five?
I might as well do five.
All right, then. Well, then, Andy, you have to sit back and watch Vish try and get a 147 break here. Go on, then. Far away. Go on, Strachan's teams.
So Celtic, Southampton, Coventry City, Scotland. I don't know the other one.
Have a guess, I would encourage you to do.
What?
Like, have a guess.
Yeah, no, I will.
Yeah. When you go, oh, I don't know the other one, it's like, well, fine, keep that within your head and then just have a go.
Gordon Strachan, what does he look like? Gordon Strachan, who would he manage?
Come on, just have a guess.
I think he'd look amazing in the Ivory Coast tracksuit.
Oh, only certain balding smoothies can get away from that. Exactly. Not that Strachan's a balding smoothie. Come on.
Who did he manage? Who else did he manage?
Do you want me to tell you? Because if I have to, it means you don't get the point. Just guess a bloody team.
Where would I guess the team? From what region would they?
From football.
From the globe. You have, come on. Get on with it.
Who would he manage? Who does he look like he manages? Would he have also managed Derby County?
Middlesbrough.
Oh, for fuck, didn't know that.
You dickhead. 2-0 to Andy Brassel. Vish, you've got a chance
here.
You're
such a cunt. Why didn't you just tell me that?
Don't be abusive, okay? You've got a chance here to get back into the game. You need this, otherwise you're out and you're up. This man has managed 13 teams.
Jesus Christ.
It's Gus Hiddink. Now, with your Dick Advocat exploits the other week, come on, you can do this. Do it and let them see you do it.
Gus.
Show at footballramble.com. I don't want to be there.
Oh, wrong one.
Vish, how many of Gus Hiddink's teams can you name? He's had 13. What is your opening bid?
Gus Hiddink.
Yeah, that's what I said. Your opening bid, come on. Come on.
Six.
I think that's good. I'm impressed with that. Andy, is that the sweet spot?
Yeah, I think it is. I've got six.
Andy, can I hear seven? Are you going to go for another one? You're 2-0 up. Why not showboat a bit?
I don't think I can. I've drawn a bit of a club blank.
Okay. So then, Vish, to stay in the game, can you name six teams that Gus Hiddink has managed in his very impressive career?
South Korea.
Yep.
Chelsea. Australia. Netherlands.
Gets a little bit trickier from here on in.
Feyenoord?
Let me see. Has he managed? The trouble is, there's a list of the anticipation is killing everybody.
Andy Brassel wins.
Andy breathes a huge sigh of relief.
I was gonna guess Russia. Had he also managed Russia?
Yeah. Unbelievably, I didn't have Australia or Netherlands. I always forget the obvious ones.
Started at PSV. Won them the treble.
Yeah, I had them.
I had it as much. So.
That was mine.
There we are. Fenerbahce.
Turkey.
Valencia. Netherlands. Real Madrid.
Valencia. Oh. Real, I should have just gone with that.
Valencia. Well, he was only there for a short time in 1994. So.
But I had Valencia in my head.
Okay. Real Madrid. Real Betis. South Korea. Back to PSV. Australia. Russia. Chelsea. Turkey. Anji. Makhachkala. Netherlands.
I had Anji as well and I crossed it out for
Chelsea.
Russia.
Oh, mate.
Curaçao.
I could have sell. I didn't have Australia or Netherlands, but I could have sell.
Oh, Vish, you plonker. So you've thrown it all away.
I panicked because I was like, shit, actually, was that a Dick Advocaat?
You see, Vish, you see.
Because it's always Russia and then a Russian club.
If you'd have used your brain to focus on the game first, instead of being abusive towards me, you might not have buggered that up, you little loser. Anyway, we've got two more. We might as well play it just to see if Andy could win 5-0. Don't throw things at me. It's very, very unbecoming.
It's better to get the paper than the pen, I reckon, if he's going to throw something at you.
That's a good idea. Thanks, Andy.
That's a bit like saying, well, you know, he only slapped you. He could have punched you. Andy, 10 teams.
Shit, I need a piece of paper.
10 teams. Don't worry. You don't care. You didn't need the paper. It didn't work for you anyway. 10 teams that Owen Coyle has managed.
10?
Yeah.
10?
10 teams.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Take it from me. There are definitely ones in there that you will no be getting.
I'm going to go for 4.
That's a good bid.
Which involves a couple of guesses.
Well, you've given your hand to Vish, but it doesn't matter because you've already won. Vish, what about you, pal?
Might as well do 5.
Yeah.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, man.
Andy, can I hear 6 from
nope,
you? Okay, Vish. Here he goes. Here goes the scattergun approach from Vitush and Hunter Raja. 5 teams that Owen Coyle has managed.
Burnley. Blackburn. Northern Ireland. No?
Have you got that?
I don't know. Did he manage Hibs?
Falkirk. St Johnston, Burnley, Bolton, Wigan, Houston Dynamo.
Bolton, fucking hell.
Blackburn Rovers, Ross County, Chenelin, I'll say that, and Jams Headpour. I'm sure I've mispronounced that. So it's 4-0.
You haven't actually. Jams Headpour, yeah.
Okay. Right then, the final manager of today's Marcus's game is a man who's managed 7 teams. It's Phil Brown.
Phil fucking Brown.
Big Philly style's all in it. Getting jiggy with it. Can I hear your opening bid? Can I hear your opening bid, please, sir?
Phil Brown.
Yeah.
Phil Brown.
Yeah.
3?
I think that's a good bid. Andy?
Yeah, I think it's a good bid.
You having it?
I've got 3. I feel like I've got a 4th on the tip of my tongue. But
why not have a go, Andy?
I'm not going to get there because I genuinely don't know it.
But you've won the game, Andy. Who cares? Have a little spectacle effort.
If you want me to give him, a point, just say I'll fucking do 4.
Do you want to do 4?
Yeah, I'll do 4.
Can I hear 5 from you, Vish?
Nah.
Okay. For once, your wisdom.
I've guessed myself into this.
I was about to say, for once, your wisdom kicks in. Okay, so 4 teams of Phil Brown's 7 teams that he's managed. Far away.
Southend United. Bolton Wanderers. Hull City. And this is where it gets tricky. I am...
Come on.
...gonna say Hartlepool United.
I understand why you went for that. I understand, but that is incorrect. Bolton Wanderers caretaker manager back in the late 90s. Derby County, Hull City.
Derby, fuck.
Yeah, shit.
Preston North End, Southend United, Swindon Town, Hyderabad, obviously, and obviously went back to Southend. So there it is. 4-1 to Andy, or 3-0 to put it another way. Vish, you disgraced yourself again.
It's a terrible game.
What have you got to say for yourself other than that?
I hate it.
Did you enjoy your time playing Marcus's game?
No.
Would you
never.
After 3?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Right, this is a disgrace. No, I'm not turning the key. No weekend for you two. Everybody else, come with me. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us, everybody. Shame about Andy and Vish's behaviour at the end there, but don't worry, we'll fix them up over the weekend, and hopefully next week they'll be back brighter, shinier, and more professional. Andy, thank you very much.
I think what you've done is a disgrace.
Vitush and Hantaraja, thank you, I suppose.
I'll speak to you on Sunday about the updates from the Arsenal Leicester game.
I will look forward to that.
Don't you worry.
Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.